But I want to turn now to talking to Rich Tao. Rich Tao of Engages, who is coming to us now with some focus group findings. He sat down with some of these key swing voters. Rich, thank you so much for joining me.
Great to be back.
So, Rich, I am so excited because you do these focus groups frequently. I first realized that you had done focus groups this month when I was on CNN Sunday show last week, and they said, we're going to play a clip from a focus group. And I see on the bottom of the screen, I see Engages. I thought, oh, I've got to get Rich back on so we can talk about this. So normally I like to be the first to showcase your groups, but tell my listeners a little bit about who specifically you were talking to this month.
So we did focus groups with Trump to Biden swing voters across the state of Georgia, 11 of them.
And tell me a little bit about what their thoughts were on the big issues of the moment. I mean, I'd like to start off by the story that has really consumed Washington this week, which is the debt ceiling, the debt limit, whether or not we're going to default as we approach that X date of June 1st when the government runs out of money. Let's take a listen to what your respondents had to say about Republican concerns around the debt.
Well, you have to pay things off. I mean, you don't borrow and not give it back. You have to pay things off, and we spend too much on certain things.
I was just going to say, it's like with your own spending, except for none of us can comprehend what $31 trillion is like, right? But it's like with your own spending, you're just like, oh, well, we'll just keep moving our budget up. You know, then you never have any limits. And then again, what's the value of your debt? What's the value of your dollar? What's the value of our economy?
So, Rich, from your perspective, I mean, these do not sound like folks that are going to be mad at Republicans for expecting that we do something to spend a little less in exchange for raising the debt limit. But what's your read on the situation?
Well, there's a little bit of intricacy here. So let me put it in context. Only four of the 11 people were paying close attention to this debate to begin with. So they're not tuned into it. None of them thought, honestly, that we're going to default. So this was not a top-level concern for them. I just don't think it's going to happen. When I told them what the Democratic and Republican positions were, 10 of the 11 sided with the Republicans because they felt that spending was out of control and they want to see it reduced. Merely lifting the debt ceiling and getting nothing in return for it, they thought that wasn't a good negotiating position. Merely trying to avoid a default, just they didn't think it was going to be a default in the first place. So that's the context in which you heard the comments that you just played.
Now, when it comes to the, you know, financial fallout from all of this, I suspect that we'll be in a very different world if we actually do default and we are immediately plunged into economic turmoil. But it strikes me that if Republicans and Democrats, you know, as we head toward 2024, that the economy remains an issue where Republicans have a little bit more of an advantage, certainly than on other issues. Is that your sense, that Republicans get a little bit of a benefit of the doubt on kind of economic and spending issues?
Possibly. Because a lot of the concerns about the state of the economy, particularly around inflation, I've heard this not just in Georgia, but across other groups in other states, is that they see it as sort of a residual effect of the pandemic. It's outside of the president's control, things like inflation, supply chains. So they're not necessarily blaming Democrats in terms of specific people. They see it as sort of just bad circumstances for the most part. I mean, certainly there are people who do blame Democrats, but it's not like they're walking around going, oh, this inflation, it belongs to Biden. It's all on his shoulders. He's the one who made it happen. They don't seem to say that. So the benefits to Republicans, I guess, are in the sense that they're not in the White House right now. But I wouldn't say it's a huge advantage to them. I mean, at the margins, perhaps a little bit.
Now, we know that President Biden is running for re-election. More and more on the Republican side, people are deciding to jump in as well. But what I saw last week in that CNN town hall was shades of a rerun, right? This is going to feel a lot like 2020. It's going to have some shades of 2016 as well, both of which were races where Americans were looking at the choices they had on the ballot and going, ugh, I don't know about this. So let's take a listen to what your respondents had to say about a third party. Would they be open to voting for a third party candidate?
DeSantis, maybe. He's been a little controversial lately, but and he's not really an independent, but possible.
I would second that, or Tulsi Gabbard on the other side. I like Tulsi.
Yeah.
I like it that she's ticked off both sides a little bit. That's good. That's centralized, and she's a strong woman. I would vote for her.
Maybe someone like Dwayne Johnson, Charles Barkley.
The former First Lady, Obama's wife, Michelle Obama.
Now, I am going to go see the Fast and Furious movie tonight. And so Dwayne Johnson is definitely a choice that I would consider. But I just love that you literally had a respondent who was like, yeah, I like Ron DeSantis. And you know who else I like? Tulsi Gabbard. Like, we are in such an odd, scrambled political environment. So what's your takeaway? I mean, I don't actually think, unfortunately, that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be our next president. But it sounds like there is an openness to looking somewhere else. What do you think about this third party prospect?
So here's the story. When they look at Trump and they look at Biden, 10 of the 11 would take Biden over Trump. Okay, so they lean toward Biden. They're all Trump to Biden voters. They all bailed on Trump. So that's not a surprise. You know, when I asked them about the possibility of an independent moderate, all 11 would seriously consider that person without naming a name, just giving them the concept of an independent moderate. All 11 would take that very, very seriously. So there is definitely an opening. Yet when you ask them who they would love to have, there's a long pause. They have a hard time coming up with names. The ones you played, they came up with, but they really had to stop and think about it. There's no top of mind sort of Superman who would show up and save the day. They don't have that for the most part. And I've done that in other groups, and I've heard very similar things. Long pauses, really not really top of mind names that they're absolutely dying to have. So I expected there to be a lot of people going, yeah, we should do this one. We should try this one, this one, this one, this one. And they just don't have it. And I think that's part – it's very telling. The other thing was I asked about Robert Kennedy Jr. And this is sort of back to the Democratic primary as opposed to the general election. All 11 of these folks want Biden to debate him. They think it's important for Biden to be vetted in front of the public, for the opponents to have a chance to make their case. They want Biden to be able to show that he can handle the possibility of a challenger, that he's up to the job. So there are significant doubts about Biden. And even though 10 of the 11 would vote for him, they're not enthusiastic.
Let's take a listen to what they had to say about Biden potentially debating RFK.
I want whoever is representing me as president to be able to put together thoughts and cohesive arguments without needing like flashcards or something. So I would use the debates as a chance to see who's capable of doing that.
Well, we've seen how debates have gone before, but I think it would show how the opponent could handle, you know, debating against him. It showed a lot with Trump, his true colors during the debate. So I'd like to see that with the new candidate.
I mean, on one hand, he's not doing well with his speeches and how he's talking. So I'm not sure that's going to make him look very good. But I think debates are important to show, you know, who supports what. It's very important for the debates to happen.
It's a good chance to show just how feeble and diminishing his mental acuity is. I know it doesn't seem fair, but it should be a requirement of all candidates. It's part of their leadership package, if you will. It shows, it outs the truth. Are they capable on their own, or are we being fronted with a candidate that's actually being fueled by a machine that's behind the curtain?
So this is where, if you are somebody who thinks that there is no way Donald Trump is going to win this election next November, like, just listen to those voters' concerns. Right now, I'm sure they don't like Donald Trump, but they are expecting Biden to meet this kind of minimum threshold of mental acuity and being able to go out on the trail. And instead, things like the State of the Union, there were great moments for Biden, but there is no universe in which he is going to get up on a stage and debate RFK and Marianne Williamson. It's just not going to happen. So what happens? I mean, is there a real risk that these voters maybe don't flip back from Biden to Trump, but just say, I am not voting in this race because this is too much of a lesser of two evils for me?
honestly, I think most of them will come out to vote and will come out to vote for Biden. And the push comes to shove, they are so, so unhappy about Trump that ultimately they'll cast a vote for Biden. But to me, the bigger story here is if you found some retired centrist Democratic governor or senator, prominent, who got money behind him or her, that Biden would be in real trouble in a Democrat primary. Mm-hmm. That to me is the really interesting story here. The fact that and you've talked about this in your broadcast, Kristen, about where RFK Jr. is polling. You know, basically most people aren't terribly familiar with him or his positions. They are certainly not mainstream Democratic positions, particularly on things like the vaccine. Yet he's polling with about 1/5 of the Democratic populace. So to me, if you had somebody who was really compelling and was more mainstream in the Democratic Party, Biden would be in a lot of hot water because there's a huge amount of doubt about his mental acuity and his ability to handle the job. The only reason why he's ahead of Trump is because these people cannot stand Trump. And that is the only reason. It's not for a love of Biden. It's for a detesting of Donald Trump.
Well, Rich, I'm so glad you came on the show today to talk a little bit about your findings. Thank you so much for being here.
Great. Thank you.